ask you this. Let me ask you this.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Sports Central. Chicago Sports Conversation with Adam Hogue.
Go, go, go.
This is Sports Central. On demand and streaming live on WGNRadio.com.
Welcome in. This is Sports Central, Monday, February 12th, 2018. Adam Hogue here with you. Kevin Powell sitting in on a baseball Monday in February.
So there's the dullest offseason I can remember, Adam Hogue, and there's this standoff between owners and general managers and front offices and player agents. And Theo Epstein this weekend said, screw it. We're going all in. We're giving you Darvish a six-year deal.
Someone had to do it eventually.
Someone
had to make the move. The Cubs do it. They get you Darvish. If you've missed any of our Sports Central shows, please subscribe on iTunes, Google Play Store. We're on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E. Kevin Powell is at KPowell720. You can follow me on Instagram at Adam Hogue. What's your Instagram?
My Instagram is KPowell720WGN.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Mostly food on Kevin's Instagram.
I would say that it pretty much sums up me, my Instagram page. If you want to know anything about me, it's pretty much food, golf, and sports in general post on my Instagram feed.
That sounds like stuff our listeners would be interested in.
It does, yes. Yeah. And there will be a flood of photos from spring training starting tomorrow when I fly out there and cover Darvish Mania and the rebuilding White Sox.
That's going to be exciting.
Yes. The Cubs camp got a whole lot more interesting over this weekend with the Darvish signing. I mean, there was obviously plenty of storylines, but Darvish, and there's going to be a whole large mass of Japanese media at camp and following the Cubs the rest of the year.
I didn't think about that. You're right.
They flood the press box and all that. So
let's jump right into our lead.
His ability to just make a pitch, both sides of the plate moving in both directions, everything coming out of his hand looks exactly the same. They're not similar pitchers, but he reminds me a lot of what Greg Maddux used to do. Every single ball that came out of Greg's hand, it looked the same, whether it had a little bit of a rise to it or a little bit of a sink or a bigger break or a little bit of a sit on the changeup. And that's what struck me about Darvish. Everything is very, very well disguised, and obviously stuff is very good as well.
That's new Cubs pitching coach Jim Hickey on MLB Network Radio on Sirius XM talking about you, Darvish. High praise comparison to Maddux. I've heard that. And I don't think you throw out comparisons, people get upset. But all he's talking about is the release point. And Greg Maddux was one of the best. Every pitch that came out of his hand always looked the same. And there's been that gif that's been going around the last few days and really for the last few years of you, Darvish, and all of his pitches coming out at the exact same point and going in 17 different directions.
Right. Yeah, he's very analytical at the way he approaches things. I guess the knock, if we're going to look at any negatives of Darvish, is that probably, I was kind of surprised to hear that, because the knock against Darvish has been command, and Greg Maddux could throw it through a teacup pretty much every single pitch. So the knock on Darvish is fastball command, maybe gets a little bit in his own head. We've seen that. We saw what happened in the World Series. We've seen what has happened in the past when he just needs an extra few outs to get out of a game, get out of an inning, and he just blows up. So when Darvish blows up, it's probably because he's overthinking things a little bit and losing fastball command. But I guess those would be the few knocks against him. Overall, hell of a pitcher, and I love the deal.
So 6 years, $126 million. He's 31 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He's already been through Tommy John surgery. Seems to be healthy. Is there any way, Kevin Powell, that this signing is one that the Cubs end up regretting?
There's always risk involved, but I think overall, I think the thing that probably people who aren't for this deal, their point would be that they don't like the amount of years given to a 31-year-old pitcher. But look what they gave John Lester when he was 31. They gave him a very similar deal. They actually gave Lester more money.
Yeah.
And that's worked out fine. And I think the thing, if you're a Cubs fan, you have to love and appreciate and just really soak this all in, that your team is the team that does these sorts of things when so many other teams are afraid to commit to these sorts of contracts, to these sorts of length of deals for the top free agent. The Cubs just went out and got the top free agent pitcher. a lot of teams are afraid of that. And a lot of teams will say, well, we're not going to go 5 or 6 years. Well, you know what? Even if you did overpay in that regard a little bit and go 5, 6 years instead of preferably 4 years, who cares? The window is right now. So you get three. Let's even say you get 3 great years out of Darvish and maybe another World Series win or World Series appearance, and you kind of have to overpay down the stretch of his contract. I would still say it's worth it. I mean, look how quickly you can reshape a rotation. I just posted a blog at WGNradio.com basically talking about where this team was this time a year ago, how many question marks there were with the starting rotation. The only guarantees to be back were Lester and Hendricks. You had Arrieta. No one really anticipated him returning. Lackey was likely either gone free agency or retirement. And they took a flyer on Brett Anderson, which didn't work at all. So basically, you only had, you know, Lester and Hendricks, a sure thing for the 2018 season. Let's go back to July 13th when the Cubs and the White Sox said, screw every other narrative we've heard about White Sox and Cubs making deals, and they made a deal that made absolute sense for both of them. So then they acquire Jose Quintana. That means now you have 3 pitchers you know will be back for 2018. And the offseason arrives, and they, I think so far, I think everyone's okay with the Tyler Chatwood deal, right? I mean, low risk, you know, maybe a high reward, has some pretty good numbers away from Colorado. So that shores you up. You got 4 guys in your starting rotation. They also hedge with Drew Smyly, who's probably not going to pitch this year because he's coming back from surgery. But for 2019, you have Smyly into the picture. So if you had 4 guaranteed after that Chatwood deal, and now the exclamation point of the starting rotation rebuild is a big exclamation point. You Darvish. I mean, that just made the Cubs the clear-cut favorite, in my mind, in the National League.
What's interesting to me is that I don't know that they have a clear-cut dominant number one, but they have a ton of really good number twos that are, you know, a lot of times considered number ones at certain points when they get hot. I mean, that's kind of been, and you, the John Lester comparison, I think, is very good. I mean, this is a guy who's 31. You're throwing actually less money. Lester hasn't necessarily, at times he's been the most, he's gone on stretches where he's been the most dominant Cubs pitcher, but he's always been overall pretty good.
Right. I think that's the thing you can, Lester might not have the ace type stuff we see with Scherzer or Kershaw, but he's a rock. And that's why I still look at him as a top and still an ace is because, you know, I mean, you know, he could roll out of bed and you know, throw it wherever he wants over the plate. I mean, he's just a steady rock in a rotation. So I still kind of do look at him as an ace and what he's meant for this rotation.
But that's what I'm getting at. There's so many guys that, like, you could consider an ace. That speaks to the depth. You know, I'm not sure there's an obvious ace, but there's Lester, Quintana at times. You know,
I mean, it's sort of like is a guy at elite or not elite in sport? You know, where's the definitive line?
So the Cubs have 4 Joe Flaccos in their starting rotation.
I would say better than that.
I agree.
But you know what I mean? Like, there's no real way you can draw a line because you can be like, well, is he an ace because he's not Clayton Kershaw? But Kershaw's an ace. Scherzer is an ace. But just because they're not on that level doesn't make them an ace. But overall, my first early impressions is this deal makes a ton of sense. I think it's a bold move by Theo. And it just when you think things kind of are like slowing down with the Cubs, nope. You just locked up one of the best pitchers in baseball for 6 years. He does have an opt-out after 2 years, by the way, but I would be kind of shocked if that happens. I mean, if it does happen, it means he's pitched lights out over the past 2 years for him to re-enter free agency.
And that'd be the ideal scenario, I would think.
Because he had pitched so well, right? Yeah, I mean, if he's going to enter free agency, that means he's been kicking
ass
for 2 years.
Yeah, if you're the Cubs and you're... I mean, you probably
won a whole lot of games anyways, even if he were to go down that route.
If he's good enough to opt out in 2 years...
That means you probably have
another World Series.
Yeah.
And then it was worth it.
Probably 2 more division titles, a couple more NLCS visits. Absolutely.
You know, and Kev, because you had made that point earlier that, you know, if they win a championship, who cares how long the contract is?
Right. That's totally worth it. Like, everyone wants to, like, hedge for the future. It's like, win now! Like this is the golden spot. Like, this is the sweet spot of everything they built. Is just win now. Who cares if in 3 or 4 years you have a mess on your hands in the contract? It's worth it now.
Yeah, and I hear you. I just think that that doesn't stop fans from complaining in that fifth or sixth year when they're overpaying.
Yeah,
you're Darvish.
Right. I mean, people will complain about it.
Yeah,
but that's kind of what you sign up for when you make these deals.
Absolutely.
To win a championship, really, no matter what sport it is. By the way, today we're debuting our first Sports Central poll question. It's at Adam Hogue for you to vote there on Twitter. Cubs fans, are you okay losing Jake Arrieta even if he ends up signing with the Brewers or Cardinals? Joe, where are we sitting right there with the poll question?
Right now we have 61% saying yes and a 39% saying no.
That's kind of what I expected. And almost 400 people already voting, so we appreciate you doing that. And you can chime in whether or not you're listening live or on the podcast later, because we'll leave that up all day and review it tomorrow. But, you know, I think most people are okay losing Jake right now. I just wanted to throw in that wrinkle. What if he ends up within the division?
Yeah, I think quickly back to Darvish, though, I think probably, man, it would have looked really bad. And I don't know how serious the Brewers were actually in with Darvish, but that would have really been like a ton of momentum for Milwaukee, who's already gained steam over the past couple years. And then what they did this offseason, getting Yelich and Kane. To sign Darvish, that would be like, wouldn't Cub fans all of a sudden be like, ooh, okay, we've got like a serious competitor on our hands, certainly not the favorites in the division, but the Brewers, you know, we talked at the end of the year a lot about how the Cubs kind of ran out of steam, and fans never want to hear that, right? They never want to hear professional athletes were exhausted or tired, but the Cubs were. And I remember I asked Chris Bryant, and he said, yeah, and then everyone went nuts, and everyone was like, I can't believe this, and some of the, you know, other, his teammates had to kind of defend him, but it's the truth. And if you look back to that final month and not just like the NLDS against Washington, which was just like white knuckle stuff for five straight games, and it was taxing on the bullpen. But even before that, down the stretch, St. Louis and Milwaukee forced the Cubs to play some really like high leverage games late in the season. Mm-hmm. I think that totally played a role to it. But Milwaukee is not going away. They're going to be like a nagging fly that the Cubs will have to continue to swat away.
Yeah, I would take them even a little bit more serious than that, too. I mean, I think that they're in there. But that's why I think from their standpoint now, it's sort of the opposite effect. Now, in Milwaukee, they got to be thinking, well, now it's going to be pretty hard to catch the Cubs because that makes them clearly the favorite, even though they already were.
And the Cubs have stated multiple times they never want to sign anybody predicated off what competitors have done in free agency. Meaning, if Milwaukee had signed Darvish, are they then forced to bring back Arrieta on a deal they don't want to go? So,
well, that's
to them to get ahead in the race in this very boring offseason and force the issue with the Brewers and even the Cardinals, that means a lot. Like, that's big.
So let me ask you that question. Should the Brewers sign Jake Arrieta now?
See, the thing about Arrieta and the argument with Arrieta and with Darvish when people are like, okay, well, who should they sign? The thing that's worrying me, and it should worry people, is the velocity dropped dramatically last season, and they all played it off like it was nothing. But you couple that in with Arrieta's mechanics, which are complex. It's why he didn't gel in Baltimore, because it's different, and he's got this weird kind of wacky rotation where he kind of starts towards third and then slings his body. If all that's not clicking, he's not the dominant pitcher. He's not even a great pitcher anymore. He can be average at times when his mechanics aren't clicking. So to me, I just think Darvish projects better long term than when Arrieta. When you've clearly seen a decline with Arrieta, so I guess that would worry me. That's a very good question.
Maybe that
should have been our poll question. That's like a very.
If we were doing a show on Milwaukee, maybe it would have been.
Yeah, I think it would depend on what the deal's worth. Well, how many years does he want? You're going to give Jake Arrieta a 5-year deal? 6-year deal?
I mean, that's tough. But it kind of is tough for you, Darvish, too.
Yeah, but I think the Cubs have the luxury of being able to. If Arrieta is a mess in Milwaukee, like, that's a huge signing for a market like that. You know, the Cubs can stick their neck out a little bit, considering they're going to have the amount of money they have pouring in.
Whereas if you sign Arrieta and he's bad, that can actually
like cripple a franchise.
That could force you.
That could cripple a franchise like a team in a market like Milwaukee. Where if you sign Darvish...
Whereas, like, the Marlins are trying to dump Giancarlo Stanton and things like that.
Exactly.
And that's what you want. That's so it is a completely different situation.
It's all kind of relative. We'll see what how this... you know, how this forces the issue now with other teams and with free agency. I just, you know, right when that happened, I said, is the MLPA still calling for collusion after a 31-year-old pitcher just got a 6-year deal? You know? Yeah. I mean,
that's why I've been saying all along.
Like, I have no sympathy for the players at all. They just signed their CBA just a couple years ago.
I just think I'm not even sure it has to do with CBA. I've been saying all along. I just think it's a perfect storm of so many teams trying to rebuild at the same time where the teams on the other side of this that are willing to spend are waiting for next year. And they don't want to kill themselves this year when Harper and Machado and the whole crop next year is going to be available. It's just a bad year to be somebody looking for then. Hey, if you're Yu Darvish,
yeah,
good for you, man.
I think you're right. It's a perfect.
But $200 million was never realistic.
No, and I know that's what Arrieta wanted. He wanted Scherzer money coming into the offseason. This is not the market for it. It's as simple as that. So I don't think there's collusion or anything like that. And I think teams are just so much smarter now in baseball with analytics and things like that. Everyone knows signing. No team wants to build via free agency. You like to build farm system, have guys under control. When these guys enter free agency, they're all declining. Very rarely do you get a free agent who's ascending. Why are you going to pay a guy 6 years, $150 million for probably decreased value over the length of the deal?
Another reason if you're the Brewers to not sign Arrieta is you have to give up a draft pick
right
to the Cubs.
Yep, yep.
And that's the one nice thing about Darvish was because he got traded in the middle of the year, the Cubs do not have to give up a draft pick here for signing him. So,
yeah, it's a good point. Like, it is a perfect storm. Basically, you know, I just want to pull up the divisions here. We can almost quickly run. Like, half the NL is basically rebuilding.
Half the league is rebuilding.
You know what I mean? Like, you're either ready to compete for a World Series or you're rebuilding.
And then you have a crop of teams like the Twins and Brewers that are, like, feel like they're right there, but are they right there to the point where they're ready to make that move that the Cubs did with Lester
right
a few years ago? Like, that was the defining moment that said, hey, okay, this is where things are shifting, and I don't know that the Twins and Brewers are all in to do that right now.
Well, even the Yankees. The Yankees got to Game 7 of the ALCS last year. Was anybody picking them to even make the playoffs?
No.
No,
Twins were in the wild card game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like who had those teams even in contention for the postseason?
Yeah, I mean, the National League. Like, look at the NL East. The Nationals can basically play like half their season blindfolded with one hand, and they're going to probably walk away with that division. The Marlins, Braves, Mets, and Phillies. No one's even coming close to the Nationals in that division.
No,
Washington's going to walk away. The Central's, there's some intrigue. You have Cubs, Brewers, and Cardinals. Pirates and Reds, obviously not going to be contenders. The NL West, there's some, it's probably one of the best divisions in baseball. If not, you have Dodgers, Diamondbacks, and Rockies. So I guess there you have some competitive balance between throughout that division. But, you know, one more note back to this whole standoff between free agents and the owners and general managers. If we go all the way back to the Shohei Ohtani stuff, right? Ohtani signed it as a 23-year-old, meaning he basically had to sign like a rookie deal. He wasn't an open international free agent. The reason he wasn't is because the players wanted that. They wanted these international guys. You know, it used to be you were 23, you could be basically an open international free agent. That got moved to 25 because the players, the MLPA was like, whoa, 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 whoa. We're giving how much money to guys who have never stepped on a major league diamond before? And that all backfired on the players. If Shohei Ohtani was an international free agent, he would have got a $150, $200 million deal. Who knows what that would have sparked in free agency?
Yeah.
So that's another reason I have no sympathy for the players. They bargained for all of this.
Yeah. It's a little similar to when number one overall picks in the NFL used to get
right
whatever their market was that year.
And the players were pissed.
Now it's all slotted. Which to me makes a lot more sense. The difference, of course, is teams own the rights. I mean, this was a free agent market now in baseball, and I think it does make some sense to limit the money a little bit. But when it's a free market, it's a free market, and you know, guy's worth what he gets every year. So
he's worth what he gets, and it also sets the market for everyone else.
Yeah. So you're right. This did kind of backfire this year. So you add that into the situation that the league is just in right now with so many rebuilding teams and next year's free agent market, I still believe, I don't think there's collusion. I just think it's a bad market.
I mean, if you want to call some general manager or owners just chit-chatting at meetings or things like that about, wow, like just talking about the current market, that's a lot different than all of them emailing and texting each other saying, nobody sign anybody.
Yeah.
That's collusion. Managers, general managers, owners just kind of talking, being like, wow, slow. That's not collusion. That's just realizing what the market is and not being dumb about it and overpaying. And it's becoming more and more of a general manager's game, more so than a manager's game. You know, with Theo and Jed, like the power they have in the Cubs system, and they're all on page with Joe. I'm not saying like there's any weird thing like that, but general managers impact teams more so than they ever have before.
That's Kevin Powell, Adam Hoge here with you, Sports Central. Joe Romano, our producer. We'll take a quick time out. We'll come back, review the weekend, some exciting things occurring, including that Bulls game Friday night was a lot of fun. So we'll get into some of that and get to buried headlines as well a little bit later on. You're listening to Sports Central.
All right, let's continue this love fest.
There it is.
It's Sports Central with Adam Hoge.
No big deal.
On demand and in real time on WGNRadio.com.
Back here on Sports Central, Adam Hoge, Kevin Powell sitting in today. Interesting weekend. A fun Friday night as we take a look at some of the highlights and lowlights from the weekend. I don't know how it gets much better than Bulls and T-Wolves Friday night. It was a fun game. It was entertaining. We talked about it a lot on Friday's show leading into the game. And to see Zach LaVine and Jimmy Butler duel the way they did. I mean, for a bad team in the middle of February, in the middle of a rebuild, that felt like a playoff game. And yeah, it was fun to watch for one night. It was fun to watch.
It was a rowdy crowd at the UC. LaVine put up 35. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
LaVine put up 35. Bulls get the stop late. I couldn't believe what I was feeling at the end of that, but I kind of felt bad for Jimmy. And I kind of felt bad. Like, I couldn't. Like, damn, you just lost to this rebuilding team, dude? Like, you guys are contenders, and I don't know why anybody wouldn't love Jimmy Butler if you're a Bulls fan, right? I mean, like, is there anybody?
So I missed the beginning. Was there? It was all love, right, for those guys from the crowd?
Yeah. I saw bits and pieces of it, but I did see
the video of Taj like pumping to his heart.
See, Taj was really into it. I think people almost forgot Taj was going to be a part of that game. Everyone's like, Jimmy Butler, Tibbs.
Well, Carmen and I were speculating Friday if Taj might actually get a bigger ovation.
He got a huge, I mean, he played here longer than Jimmy, right? How many more years was he here than Jimmy?
Oh.
He was a part of some really competitive teams that played in the postseason. But I was like, wow, I feel kind of bad for Jimmy. I don't know. I kind of wanted him to get a, I don't know if a win, I wouldn't go that far, but I don't know. It was just a weird way to end, to lose 1 point in front of the crowd and everything. But it was very entertaining. And if we can get an entertaining Bulls game right now in the middle of winter, I'll take it.
Yeah, and in terms of the low lights of the weekend, can it stop snowing? I mean, it's finally sunny here today.
Yeah. Did a lot of shoveling. I put off shoveling until yesterday afternoon, about 5 o'clock. So I had, 3 days worth of snow piled on.
You didn't even do the original big dump we got, what was that, Thursday?
No, I didn't touch anything till Sunday.
Wow.
So my lower back is a little sore today, Adam.
I used a snowblower for the first time.
Yeah?
Wow. How was it?
It's,
they're fun,
think,
right?
My back would be out.
Yeah, I used a shovel for a fairly large, we haven't invested into a snowblower yet. But
I have the electric one.
Does it work?
But it plugs in. That's the annoying thing, is you have this big giant cord.
Plus, is it as powerful as a gas?
Well, I don't think so, but it it's
does it get the job done?
Yes, that's okay. I mean, including that Super Bowl snowstorm we had a few years ago. I've had this thing for 4 years now. It's never failed on me. It doesn't need service because it's electric. Those gas ones, like, you need to service. And it's handled every single one that we've gotten. It's just, you got this big giant cord that's annoying. But I've learned to handle it.
Your team electric snowblower.
Well, team cheapskate, maybe. That's like, I probably could have spent the extra $200 to get the big powerful one.
Yeah,
well, I would never buy one. Our neighbors moved, and they gave us theirs because they moved to a non-snow. They didn't need it there.
They moved to Arizona.
Yeah, the desert, Florida.
I can't remember if they moved or if they just moved to somewhere warm or just moved to somewhere that they weren't the ones taking care of.
Right, like a condo or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. My my sister lives in the city, and got the text from my brother-in-law. Some hero, he called him a hero on the block, came down the entire length of the street and did the sidewalk with a big giant
snowball. That's clutch. See, my
that is just you are. That you are actually a hero in Chicago if you do that. So for those people that did that, good for you.
And for those of us who grew up in the suburbs, that was commonplace. That's like, you know, my dad does like half the block because it's a little tougher in the city. You got alleys, you got narrow spaces, you got, I don't know how people who have alleyways, and you grew up in what, Lincoln Park, Lakeview?
Lincoln Park.
Mm-hmm. This has got to be such a
pain. The alleys
in the
ass, were the worst.
Right? Yeah. Like, it's like, the alley becomes even smaller because all the snow is pushed to each side and it's packed up. So it's like a narrow little space
to get
through. Well,
and even once you dig out your garage to get your car out,
you got to put that snow somewhere else.
But also, you still got to get down the rest of the alley.
Right.
So if they're not digging out down there, you could actually be stuck in your garage or in your alley for a while.
Yeah, that's so. So now you're out in the burbs. Much easier, right?
Much easier.
Yeah.
And I don't even have to worry about my backyard, really, because the garage, we got a driveway in the front.
Attached, yeah.
So, there you go. It's the best.
This was Talking Driveways and Snowplows on Sports Central.
How much Olympics did you watch over the weekend?
I dabble in. You know, the thing with the Olympics is I always kick myself when they end, because that's just like about when I'm getting into it. Mm-hmm. I think because you read as much as you can, and for us that work in sports, you do the prep and you read about athletes and try to get ready for the games, but it's hard to really, most 95% of the athletes you never really even heard much of. So you kind of like really don't get that attachment to the player until like the end, and then it ends and you're like, damn it, I should have invested even more time into it. So I've kind of been dabbling. I watched some last night, you know, a little figure skating here and there, but I can't really get into that at all.
I want to give NBC credit for one thing. Their app, the NBC sports app, which like I have on Fire TV, is awesome because you can just pick every live event that's happening.
Yep.
Like, you don't have to wait for it to be on NBC or on NBC Sportsnet. Like, I've wanted to watch all the curling I possibly can. And even sometimes you pick a game and they don't have any commentary on it whatsoever.
Yeah, but I've heard about that. I haven't experienced that yet. But
there's one curling, might have been the last USA game, I think, in the mixed doubles, where there was no commentary at all. But it was actually kind of nice, because it was just like I'm sitting there watching, like I'm there.
The thing about curling, I think that could work, and this is sort of like, I get so irritated when I'm watching a golf tournament, and the cameraman's up close on like a caddy and on an actual golfer, and they're walking down the fairway, and the mic is clearly picking up what they're talking about, like strategy.
Yeah.
Not like, hey, what do you want to do there? Like, really cool, like for a golf junkie like myself, some really cool, like, and the commentators are talking. I'm like, shut up.
It's let them
golden
talk.
Opportunity to hear what Tiger Woods is saying to his caddy. Just be quiet. So I think with curling, it might actually work because there's so much yelling and talking and like strategy that you can clearly pick up on the mic.
Well, their mic.
Next time, play a curling clip, Joe. what are we playing here, man? It's a family-friendly sports show.
One of those jokes every show. And that was today's curling.
That was
curling
an easy
update.
Yeah, that was a layup. That was today's curling joke. You can get that sponsored. The curling joke of the day. I like that.
But you're right, because they are mic'd up the whole time.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what I was getting at is I like the app because you can watch whatever you want.
Yeah.
And because every time I turned on NBC, it's figure skating.
I know. And I think I get it. NBC's probably got this down to a science. They know what's going to hit with certain demos and all that. But, man, I really can't get into the figure skating stuff. I'm good with the highlights.
Even my wife was like, the music is terrible.
This is so overdramatic.
She doesn't even want to watch
it. Get over yourselves. But I'm good with just the clips of, you know, of people like pulling off triple axles and stuff, you know?
Well, that's the other thing. On the app, you can just, like, go through the clips of everything.
Yeah, so, I love it. Yeah. It's perfect. But these figure skaters are so, like, into themselves. I'm just like, relax, man. You know, it's just, it doesn't work for me.
So you're going to spring training tomorrow?
Going to spring training tomorrow. Getting out of the snow. Can't wait. Early flight tomorrow. I'll get there. Go straight to Cubs camp. See what is going on with the Darvish.
They report tomorrow. Sox report Wednesday. Is that correct?
Both tomorrow.
Oh, both tomorrow.
Both tomorrow.
Okay.
But the report date is like literally just a report date. It's like showing up. It's like syllabus week and, you know, syllabus day and the first day of school. They just kind of get there, move in their stuff. Are you going out to the desert? I know you were out there the past couple years, weren't you?
Nah, yeah, well, last year they had the owners meetings out there too, the NFL owners meetings.
Where are the owners meetings
so I did
this
both.
Year?
Orlando.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so.
I heard the Sox already got 45 guys in camp.
Yeah, they've had a
Chuck
ton of guys.
Chuck Garfine tweeted that out.
They're ready, man. They're excited. I can't wait to get to Sox camp and talk to some of those guys.
Who are the three guys you're looking forward to talking to most, Cubs or Sox?
I got to get to know Jake Berger, their first-round pick from last year, the White Sox. I saw
him at Sox Fest.
He's a beefy fella.
He does
fella.
Not look like a baseball player.
He's going to... I know. That's my kind of guy. I need to go talk to him and see what's up with Jake Berger, who I think has the best Twitter handle out there, which is Bergatron.
Bergatron. I got to start following more of the White Sox guys on Instagram.
They all seem to be like... They're starting to build some relationships with one another, which is cool to see. I think I would say Berger, Kopech, because he's become like a huge story throughout baseball, just because of like his stature and his girlfriend's the reality star. Yeah. He's just a storyline. So
he's got superstar written all over him more than any of these guys. Him and Eloy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's one of the things too with the Sox right now. They don't have a ton of marketable guys. Like, who's going to be the face of this rebuild? The Cubs had Rizzo and Bryant. I would say for the Cubs, I want to talk to Schwarber about his losing all the weight. So I guess those three.
All right. So,
but who would you say would be the potentially the face of the White Sox?
Well, here, right now, face of the White Sox.
Well, I guess
still Jose Abreu. If Moncada explodes this year, then he'll have a chance.
I had a dream last night. Swear to God, true story. That Moncada in his first at bat of the season. Hit one, and I thought it was a homer, and it got robbed at the center field wall. I don't know what that means.
Don't bring that negative energy in here, dude.
I know. Let's just pretend it went over the fence then and bounced off the guy's glove.
That'd be a depressing way for the season to start. I remember I went to Moncada's first game last year, and he like worked a walk.
And everyone went nuts.
And I was like, this is great at bat.
After he
Hall of Fame.
Right? I think he fell behind like 1-2.
Something like that.
And then he fouled some pitches off.
He ripped one down the line. That was a foot foul.
It was the loudest applause I've ever heard for a guy walking. Like, people went nuts.
All right, so over under on when Eloy gets called up.
Oh, they want like a month wise or like when? What are you thinking?
July 1st.
I would say over.
As in
like past July 1st.
Past.
Yeah. I also got to look at some of the contractual stuff with some of these guys because that'll dictate a lot of it.
And then Kopech, July 1st.
Over.
So over on both.
The thing with Kopech, and I'm totally fine with that, is he's never, last year he pitched 130 innings, which was by far the most he's ever pitched in a season. So you got a guy like that, a power arm, you can't put that kind of stress on him right from the get-go. You got to really stretch the arm out, don't force it. So I would say over for Kopech.
What'll be interesting with Kopech is with the last two big names, Sale and Rodon, they came in and pitched in the bullpen, but that was when the team was somewhat in contention.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, now that they're like officially rebuilding and you don't need their bullpen's going to be pretty bad, but they don't need an extra arm in there to contend. They can kind of groom him the way they want to.
That's what I mean. There's no rush with any of these.
By the way, the Rodon thing, I don't like the Rodon vibe.
Yeah, you're not alone there.
I mean, I've been all over this since like early last year, though. It's like...
Like, you mean just the idea...
Wasn't he shut down in spring training last year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't pitch
while I was there.
Yeah, he didn't pitch, and then he was like MIA. No one really had seen him or heard from him. Yeah, the stuff with him that scares me is the shoulder thing as well.
Well, and then they were like, it's a minor shoulder...
And then it needs surgery.
And then we're at Sox Fest, and Rick Hahn's like, yeah, he's going to start throwing next week.
Yeah, the surgery is back like October, September?
Yeah, and now they're saying June at the earliest, right?
Yeah, it just seems to always be something, but they're not going to...
I feel like they're just trying to get him ready for 2019.
Kind of, yeah. But
not saying he won't pitch in 2018. But I'm just saying like...
It seemed like they were trying to get him ready for 2019 last year in 2017.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, I don't know what's up with him. I don't. I'm gonna fish into that a little bit when I get out there because there's a lot of Sox fans who are like, "What the hell's going on with this guy?" You know, he's supposed to be a front-end ace guy, and he does have some nasty stuff, but we just haven't really seen it for an extended period of time.
Yeah. Well, all right, so Kevin will be out of spring training all the rest of the week. We'll have him on the show with updates. So you'll be in Mesa tomorrow, assuming that's when they do this whole Yu Darvish extravaganza, you would think, tomorrow.
We're still waiting kind of for the full schedule. But, yeah, we're hoping to hear from him. And then I'll be at Sox camp. The Sox apparently are still in need of a radio home. So we'll see how that plays out.
Are they sending you to finalize negotiations?
No, I'm just saying it could dictate where I'm at.
Okay, fair enough.
With news. So yeah, I will be at Sloan Park tomorrow afternoon though, so we can dial in and give you the latest from there. So
all right.
Let you guys know how the weather is.
We'll take another quick time out, come back. Got a ton of buried headlines. A ton of good stuff from the weekend.
All right,
so we'll be right back on Sports Central. Okay, time for buried headlines on Sports Central. Happy Monday. Hope you had a good weekend. It's still freezing cold outside here in Chicago, but it is sunny. We have seen the sun for the first time in days. A lot of our listeners, by the way, just getting some Twitter notifications and mentions like that. Not from Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
Got some Canadians listening. They tune in for the curling jokes.
Got Adam Hogue fans all across the
Ireland too. Well, you know what it is? Yeah, someone from Ireland reached out to me there. A lot of our Hogue and Johns listeners.
I was going
to
say
Bears fans,
right?
All over
everywhere.
The world.
Yeah,
and that's what we learned this year doing the voicemails, which Joe Romano did an amazing job with.
Yeah, production was just on fire.
I did love that addition to the podcast because I'm a frequent listener, and I think it adds a whole lot to the podcast. I think it's great stuff.
Well, Joe, we would get calls from everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, they
Did we get like one service member out in like Beirut or something like
that?
Yeah,
I can't remember exactly where
that
guy was
awesome.
But
it was sweet.
That's amazing.
Guy's watching like the Bears in like 2 a.m. or something, and then he calls into our voicemail line.
Thanks for everyone listening.
Yeah. So anyway, a lot of those people carrying over. We appreciate you doing that. All right. Quick, serious buried headline.
Okay.
Corey Crawford practicing today. Out in Arizona. That's, I mean, good news.
It's good news.
Probably too little too late for the Blackhawks right now.
Yes.
But save him for next year?
Your trade deadline is looming, and I would say Stan Bowman should just do nothing. Unless you can get rid of some contracts, but they're not buyers at this point.
Yeah. Appears Anton Forsberg will start tonight. And then the Hawks are in Las Vegas tomorrow.
That's right. Steve Cochran show is out there.
So, Joe, what's the deal with the Cochran show?
They're not
on. No show tomorrow.
There's a fill-in for tomorrow, right?
But Pete McMurray is filling in for Steve tomorrow.
Okay.
But Steve's going to be on the download leading up to the game.
Leading up to pregame for tomorrow night's game against the Vegas Golden Knights.
Got it.
And then the day after, on Valentine's Day, Steve will have a co-host, so he'll be out in Vegas, and then Pete will be here, and they'll kind of host the show together.
I like it. Do you have Valentine's Day plans? Are you a romantic with the wife?
Yeah, we got a babysitter. That's priority number one.
Step number one.
That's how every date starts.
So then once that's secure, then we work on it.
The plan, I believe, is we've been talking about doing a sushi date for like 3 years.
Okay.
So
plenty of good sushi up in the north burbs, northwest burbs.
Yeah. You got any recommendations?
I like raw sushi a lot. But that's in Glenview. Is that too far from you? Where are you at?
I like Glenview. We're in Vernon Hills.
Oh, you're not far.
Yeah.
10, 15 minutes. You'll find something.
There's a place in Long Grove, I think we're going to. I forget the name. So, that doesn't help.
Oh, love a good sushi.
All right. Esteban Loaiza.
Holy cow.
I mean, this is the guy to be the most random Monday story ever.
This is like a Sports Onion type thing.
And then, here, if you're on Twitter today, so it comes out, Esteban Loaiza was arrested on Friday in San Diego for possessing 20 kilos of cocaine and heroin. So that's just random, first of all. Because Esteban Loaiza is like your classic random player who was like really good for 1 year, and then you just don't really think about him that much anymore.
Yeah, he had that one Cy Young type year when Roy Halladay took it that year. Was it 2003.
Yeah.
2003 and 2004, he was all back-to-back All-Stars.
And it's like, to me, To me, Esteban Loaiza, when I saw him at Sox Fest a couple weeks ago, he's like the guy you forget about until you see him. I'm like, oh,
Esteban Loaiza.
What's he doing here?
Producer Joe says he has an Esteban Loaiza jersey, which I think would make for an awesome first prize giveaway for Sports Central.
Ooh.
I think you guys could build something.
Are you willing
this
to part with that?
Probably not.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So
really? I thought that would be like a sure thing. You really hanging on your Loaiza jersey?
I'm not holding strong.
Do it for the show, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't
actually, when he came back, he came back and had to wear a different number because Don Cooper started wearing 21.
Mm.
And I saw him in the bullpen, and I was out in right field or in left field. And I was like, yo, Esteban. And he turned around, and I showed him the jersey. And he was like, what's up, dude? Thumbs up.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But yeah. I'll give it away.
And that was the best moment in Joe Romano's life.
Yeah.
You and Ho could sign the jersey, and you guys could give it away to a listener. It
yeah,
like a really big prize giveaway. And then
we can put his prison number on there.
There you go.
I hate to be a story topper, but I too...
A one-upper?
I, too, once had an Esteban Loaiza jersey.
What?
That my mother gave me.
So do you have it still?
I still have the jersey. It no longer says Esteban Loaiza on it.
Switch it up.
Like, Esteban Loaiza.
Yeah.
Like, thanks for the nice jersey. It was like the authentic 83 version, too.
Ooh. Wow.
Yeah.
Those are maybe the best baseball uniforms of all time.
Right.
You remember who they got when they traded Loaiza?
Who was the team they traded him to?
Yeah, El Duque. No. No, no. Wait.
Hey, the Yankees? Oh, I just looked it up. Josie Contreras?
Yeah, I had the wrong... Okay.
Yeah, the wrong That's Cuban from New York.
Yep. Yeah. And the wrong Cuban from New York.
Classic mix-up with the Cuban pitchers from New York. Career earnings, by the way, this is according to baseball reference for Esteban Loaiza, $43 million.
I just remember...
But you got to get into the heroin trafficking business because are tough.
That gives you just enough to invest.
Yeah, it's going to buy a whole lot of heroin, $43 million. I'm guessing. Right?
I just watched that Tom Cruise movie where he's flying the pilot planes out of Colombia. It's actually a pretty decent movie.
Is that the Tom Cruise one or the Nicholas?
No, it's Tom Cruise.
Okay,
everyone's called American Made. Is that American Made? I liked it.
Did you like it? Okay.
And that was your.
I watched Silver Linings Playbook last night. I thought it was appropriate with the Super Bowl Eagles victory.
It is.
Love that movie.
Highly entertaining movie.
The Juju.
You're messing with the Juju.
Yeah. I am so Robert De Niro from that movie.
Like, did he get nominated for that movie? Because he's so damn good in that. He should have been Best Supporting Actor nominee. Because I'm pretty sure Bradley Cooper won it that year, the Best Actor. But anyway, Silver Linings Playbook, put it in your queue.
Solid movie.
Good movie.
And we should mention Frank Reich.
Right.
Over the weekend, goes to Indianapolis, takes that Colts head coaching job, and is signed, sealed, and delivered. And they also lost John DeFilippo, who, as I was suspecting while I was in Minnesota for the Super Bowl, became the Vikings offensive coordinator. So two big losses for the Eagles, and the guy that the Bears were seriously considering for their head coaching job is now the OC within the division.
Interesting little wrinkle there.
It's funny how that works out. Speaking of NFL news, Reuben Foster.
Yeah.
Rested for the second time in 2 months. This one's a little bit worse than the weed violation he had. Domestic violence, threats, possession of assault weapon. So, Reuben Foster, he's playing for the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
By their own admission, John Lynch, their general manager, said had they not traded with the Bears, swap 2 and 3, they were going to take Reuben Foster at number 3 if the Bears took Solomon Thomas at number 2.
Or, they got Foster.
I'm sorry. Wait.
Would have been sucked
there. Foster,
yeah.
He said that they were prepared to take Reuben Foster. I forget how it worked out, but he said they were prepared to take Foster that early. Like, they liked him that much. They end up getting him late first round.
31st, right?
With the extra pick they ended up with. Because they traded back in. I forget how it all
worked. But this guy's been a problem since, like, day one. Wasn't there an issue with him
at the combine?
At the combine.
He got
a nurse,
kicked out
right?
of the combine.
When it came to a physical or
yes.
something? Yeah, this guy's hell
which,
of a player, but...
Which was the day I took him off my draft board. I'm sorry, can there be a bigger red flag than getting in an argument with the nurse at the combine over a physical? Is anyone surprised almost a year later, 11 months later, that he's got a domestic violence arrest?
Come on. Speaking of troubled NFL athletes, some pretty eye-opening stuff from Manziel today.
Johnny Manziel,
Good Morning America. He's diagnosed bipolar.
Mm-hmm.
And
says he's sober.
Says he's sober.
Well, can he come back to the NFL?
I doubt it.
People who keep bringing that up keep forgetting that he can't play quarterback.
Right.
I mean, which was what I was saying to begin with.
The Tim Tebow stuff, too, right? Like, he just can't play quarterback.
Cool. You want him to come back?
Maybe a popular sports figure, but he's not good at quarterback.
Yeah. Joe Romano just handed this to me, too. Might as well knock out more NFL news. Former Colts Pro Bowl cornerback Vontae Davis released over a medical issue in November, and a free agent now, has been cleared from his core injury surgery done late in the season. Teams expected to have interest prior to free agency. That's from Adam Schefter.
U of I guy, right? Davis?
Yes, he is. Yeah, he is. He is.
A back page of the Chicago sports section today, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Phil Thompson, Phil Rosenthal, and Tim Bannon combined to put this little piece together. Just curious, your thoughts. The headline, Johnny and Tara Shine. So far, NBC does not. And I've seen some mixed stuff about NBC's coverage. I think it's outstanding, considering the amount of events going on at the same time.
Yeah,
considering,
it's a lot of work.
Considering how much they pay for the rights for the Olympics, I think they do it right. Question to you, do you like NBC's overall coverage of the Olympics? Do you think it could be better?
I like it. I mean,
see, are we like jaded at this point? NBC's so damn good and we're so used to it now for so many years that we're just like, meh, okay. Yeah, this is how the Olympics are supposed to be covered. But if you figure in how much work needs to be done and how much production needs to be implemented.
See, I miss Bob Costas.
Yeah, I love Costas.
I miss Bob Costas.
Tirico's really good, though.
Tirico's fine.
Oh, not a Tirico guy, huh?
Tirico's got some issues off the field.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
That rubbed me the wrong way. That anytime I watch him, I just have a weird feeling. I'll put it this way. It's easier when he's off camera just doing play-by-play for football. Dude, I'm watching football, and it's just Tirico's voice.
Yeah.
But him hosting the studio at the Olympics...
rubs you the wrong way?
I don't know.
Okay.
Is Dan Patrick doing the Olympics this week? Because he was at Pebble Beach the other day.
By the way, did you see that? Because Jim Nance's backyard has become like a viral hit.
But yeah.
You know, this weekend it went viral again because Dan Patrick's show was out there and those guys were all on the social media with it. Jim Nance and Adam Hogan, these are the things, like, I'm not a real materialistic guy. Like, I don't really care about, like, sports cars or, you know, anything really like that. Like, material stuff doesn't get me going. But holy hell, looking at Jim Nance's backyard... it is a little par 3 hole he has in his backyard, and they're like kind of up on a hill, and then it goes like over a little like large part of his yard, and then there's a green on the other side of his yard. This is all in his backyard, and it's beautiful. The landscaping is amazing. I saw that, and I'm like, I need that someday in my life.
That's your,
like,
life
that,
goal.
That could drive me to, like, you know, that will keep me going. I don't need a Porsche, you know. But anyways, Nick Faldo, who's won multiple Masters, aced the thing when Jance had...
I didn't see the video of that. I heard that.
That was awesome.
I did see the video of Nance doing play-by-play
with him and Patrick.
Dan Patrick's
shot. Which
is
so good, because those are two great broadcasters. And Nance is like, Nance, Patrick,
mm-hmm.
go head-to-head on Sunday at Augusta. it was awesome.
But
Jim Nance backyard, look it up. Amazing.
Bulls magic tonight. It's going to be hard for the Bulls to tank this game. Aaron Gordon, Nikola Vucevic. I practiced that 17 times before the show. Didn't get it right.
Close enough.
Jonathan Isaac, Terrence Ross, all ruled out for tonight's game. Bulls still won't have Chris Dunn, but I think it's going to be hard to lose that one at home.
Will Bulls counter that and rest some people? Who can rest more? 5-on-5.
Yeah.
Another Olympic nugget from me, Adam. Adam Rippon has been like the sensation in the figure skating world.
Yeah, I saw him last night. Speaking of Tirico, he skated last night in the team event.
He did, and he killed it.
I'll let you finish, but I do have a criticism of NBC.
Okay.
The team event thing was going on all weekend.
Yeah.
and I granted I wasn't watching every minute, but I think that they need to explain stuff, understanding that most people watch the way I do, where you just sort of tune in and out.
That's a good
I
point.
Had no idea what was happening with this team event. I did not understand it. Yeah. I didn't understand why the ladies were out there by themselves, and then so I guess it was doubles, men, women, and then
lost.
The ice dancing. I don't know. I still don't know. I think I was just like, I don't care enough.
I guess that would be my one criticism of NBC is like, know your audience.
Yeah.
No one knows figure skating. No one knows track and field. No one knows like anything.
They do a good job with the curling of explaining stuff.
Yeah,
kind of.
Some of the broadcasters do. I think some of the broadcasters are so immersed into these sports, like they cover it for a living. That when it comes to showtime, for primetime, they forget that their audience has no clue what's going on. So, anyways, Adam Rippon is big Team USA figure skater guy. He's very very loud. Great skater. Anyways, this actually wasn't at the Olympics.
It's very loud.
It's I don't know how to put it. I don't know how the hell else to put it. I'm reading this and I'm trying to spit out what. So at the Grand Prix final in Japan, Adam Rippon, because I had right before he skated, they were like Adam Rippon one time recorded sang a version of Rihanna's. Is this Rihanna? Yeah, Diamonds Are Forever, or whatever the hell song it is. This guy was going to play his song that he recorded doing Rihanna's Diamond as the song he skated to. And back a few weeks ago in Japan at the Grand Prix final, he sang the song, dropped the mic, and proceeded to do his routine on the ice. Not too bad, right? It's just
when you told me you were gonna play this, I thought it was gonna be like terrible.
Okay, see, I think it's pretty bad, but I just think the idea of it, because at the end of this, and we don't have to listen to the 3-minute version of the song, but he drops the mic and continues to sing. So I guess my question is this: do you appreciate him going out on a limb there and doing like a full performance before the performance? And you,
I do.
My other question: you actually liked his singing?
Well, it wasn't the greatest audio.
It wasn't atrocious,
but it was better. If he was a terrible singer, like if I were to do that.
So you appreciate
that? I'd be like, you're an idiot. Don't do that.
You
but
appreciate
he actually
Rippon.
Can do it to a level where he's adding his performance.
Right.
I'm cool with it.
Okay. Adam is Team Adam Rippon singing.
Team Rippon. All right. This is going to be kind of hard to bring to the radio, but I'm going to do my best because it's amazing. It's a few days old, but did you see the tic-tac-toe competition, the Portland Trail Blazers game the other night?
I did not.
This is amazing. So you'll be the test because you haven't seen the video on how well I can.
Have you ever played tic-tac-toe, Kevin?
Yes. Not a huge tic-tac-toe guy, but I understand the,
You understand the basic rules.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Of tic-tac-toe. Okay.
Yeah.
So, for the listeners at home, basketball game. They have Grace and Morgan competing against each other. The goal is to make a layup, and every time you make a layup, you can grab either your X or your O, depending which ones you have,
nice.
Run to half court and place it on the tic-tac-toe board. Right?
Okay.
So it's a combination of making your layups and understanding the basic philosophy of tic-tac-toe.
Tic-tac-toe, pretty basic game.
All right. So it's just during a timeout in Portland. Like I said, we have Grace versus Morgan. And Grace starts. She misses a layup. Gets her rebound. Goes back up. Doesn't even hit the rim. Okay. Back up. Grace. Yep, still no luck. Up. Still can't make one. 0 for 4. And we're 0 for 5 now. And meanwhile, on the other end, Morgan grabs her. She gets a layup. Grabs the circle, right? So it's X's versus O. She's an O, and she does your classic move of putting it in the center.
Classic tic-tac-toe maneuver.
Right. Okay, someone seems like they know how to play. That's Morgan. Up on the other end, Grace finally made her layup and puts an X in the bottom right corner. Meanwhile, on the other end.
That's a solid block.
Right? Morgan gets hers, and she correctly puts the O next to her other O, and she's trying to get three in the middle. At least we think she is.
So we're talking middle right. Middle
right. Middle right. She... Okay. just needs one more, and she's won the game. Well, meanwhile, Grace has made her layup. Yeah, draw a diagram. And also, so what does she do right here?
So this is what we got right now, right?
Right. So what should Grace do when she makes her layup?
You go middle left.
To block her.
To block.
She puts it top right.
Like, the worst spot you could possibly put it.
So we got a combination of can't make layups here and don't know how to play tic-tac-toe.
So you got a circle in middle and middle right. And an X in top right and bottom right.
I hope you're following along.
In the history of tic-tac-toe, that's never been done before.
This gets worse. Grace quickly makes a layup. Good for her. She made two in a row. She comes back with her X. If I asked you where she put it,
she gotta go
you would not
left.
Believe. Because she put it on top of Morgan's O to give herself tic-tac-toe in a space that was already occupied.
Basic rules of tic-tac-toe do not allow you to put an X where a circle already exists. Come on, Grace.
So they yell at her and say, you have to move that.
It's clearly stated, rule 2-3, section 4 of the tic-tac-toe rulebook, you have to move that now.
You're not going to believe it. It gets worse. So she still has the opportunity to block the three O's, right? Which she has already failed to do once. She once again does not go for the block. Meanwhile, Morgan comes, and it's wide open for her to win. She puts it in the middle left. She goes top left. She doesn't know how to play either. Neither one of these people know how to make layups or play tic-tac-toe.
Meanwhile, Damian Lillard just is tapping his foot on the sideline. They're trying to get back on the court.
Right.
I've made that part up, but that would be funny.
So right now, we're looking at middle O, middle right O, top left O. Against middle top X, top right X, bottom right X.
This is correct. I applaud you for drawing this out and understanding it.
Trying to just, you know, lay out a picture for the listeners.
Here comes Grace again. She's now got her layups down. She has gotten the layups down. She's got another X here. Once again, can block the O's. Tries to put it in two different occupied spots. Again, already occupied. In the meantime, Morgan comes out of nowhere, correctly puts her O in the space that's now been open to win for like 30 seconds, and she wins.
Mother of
God. Yep, 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 yep.
Joe, next time play the tic-tac-toe audio.
The video is on my Twitter, at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E. If you'd like to...
How old were the two contestants?
Like they look like late 20s.
Oh, okay.
Mid to late 20s.
Which makes this even worse.
I mean, is this where we've gone with millennials that they don't even know how to play tic-tac-toe?
These freaking millennials. Country's going to hell, Adam. You may have heard.
It is the most infuriating video I think I've ever seen.
That's pretty wild.
All right, we need to get out of here.
Pretty wild. Thanks for having me today, man.
Thanks for coming in. Enjoy Arizona.
New blog, WGNRadio.com. Shameless plug for myself right there.
Well, we'll give you more throughout the week. Kevin Powell joins us all week long for Arizona with updates from the Cubs and White Sox. All right, Joe, what did we screw up today?
Let's see. We got, I wouldn't say screwed up, just a couple of unanswered questions. Taj Gibson's rookie year was 2009-2010,
okay,
where he played in all 82 games and started 70, which is pretty
impressive.
I think
that's why people loved him. He was a warrior for the Bulls.
Yeah, just a total rock. Robert De Niro was indeed nominated for Best Supporting Actor.
My film critic skills are on point right now.
He did not win. It was Christoph Waltz who won for Django Unchained.
He always wins.
He's awesome.
Man, that's a great movie.
And then with the, Solomon Thomas and Reuben Foster. Reuben Foster and Solomon Thomas were two of the top three guys that the 49ers had on their board. So I think what you were trying to say, Adam, is that if the Bears were trading up to take Solomon Thomas, that they would have taken, that the 49ers would have then taken Reuben Foster at three.
Got it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Either way, they had him way too high on their board, given the fact that he got mad at a innocent person doing their job at the NFL Combine.
Bad news right there.
Right. All right. We'll be back tomorrow, Sports Central, on Tuesday. Again, find us on iTunes, Google Play Store. Just search WGN Sports Central. And we have giveaways to give out the rest of this week.
Joe's Esteban Loaiza jersey.
Number 21.
Stay tuned on how you can win that. You guys got to give that away. That's
I don't know what to do with the sheet, but we have golf.
I've got it right here. Gift certificate to Golf Center of Des Plaines, Chicagolands. I go here very often, even in the middle of the winter, because all the bays are heated. You can go when it's -5 out. Gift certificate to Golf Center of Des Plaines, Chicagolands' premier year-round golf practice facility. They just redid it, too. The area's only full-lighted 9-hole course, newly renovated landing turf, 3-tiered year-round driving range, and state-of-the-art golf instruction. Visit GolfCenterDesPlaines.com.
All right, you did that better than I could have. Appreciate it. Go find the tic-tac-toe video on at Adam Hogue. It's ridiculous. We'll talk to you tomorrow.